try this for the third time. This is Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I haven't done a video like this in quite some time. Responsibilities and things have kept me very busy, and I want to sort of try to get back into the habit of making a short video, if not weekly, at least a couple times a month. Some of you might know that yesterday I rebooted our study at church on the King James Bible and the study of preservation and things related to the text and the transmission and the translation of the Bible into English. And what we're going to be focusing on in this particular term or segment of the class throughout this school year, starting September and ending probably sometime next spring before I take a break, is we're going to be looking at things related to canonicity and the transmission of the text. So this past summer, I've been doing a lot of reading and a lot of studying in advance of the class resuming on things related to transmission. One of the things that I did in preparation was I read a lot about the different translations, different early versions and translations that were made in church history and how those things, where they fit in their readings and their text basis and these kinds of things. One of the things that comes up quite a bit in this discussion is something like the Gothic translation. And so I was interested in learning and finding out more about that. And one of the things I had in my library, and this might be backwards, is I had the History of the Bible, Erasmus and the Received Text. And this was written by Gail Ripplinger in the year 2000. This book has quite a bit of information in it. It's a spiral binding. It's not a really fancy book, but it does have some information in it. There's the page numbers aren't numbered and things like that, but there's a section here on this particular page on the Gothic Bible, okay? And this segment right here is a quotation from the Cambridge History of the Bible, Volume 2, and it's about the Gothic Bible. And this particular quote is put together from a compound from page 347 through 355, and it's separated by different ellipses or grammatical technique to indicate spacing and so forth. So this is stretched over a good 12 pages of text, this particular compound quote by Ripplinger. And she says at the beginning, she's getting this from page 347, she says, "The original Greek manuscript or manuscripts from which Ulfius made his translation of the Gothic Bible belonged to the Byzantine group." And then in brackets, it says King James type, and then there's an ellipsis. So the reader of this page in Ripplinger's work is led to believe that the Gothic Bible is of the same text type, the Byzantine group, the Byzantine text type, as the King James Bible, which would be a later translation of the Textus Receptus, or largely the Byzantine group. Then it goes on after the ellipses, and it says, "As in the Gospels, the original Greek text of the epistles was of the Byzantine type and differs very little, from the fully developed Textus Receptus of the later period." And that's taken from page 355. So one of the things that I have adopted as sort of a way of operating is that I don't just trust these sources without actually corroborating them through trying to track them back and find those sources that the authors are using to try to make their points. So I got on the internet and I found a copy, an electronic copy in PDF format of the Cambridge History of the Bible Volume 2. And I went to the pages that Ripplinger is quoting from here, namely page 347 and 355, which we'll get to in a minute. But the text right here, I've got it highlighted in red. I know you can't read it, so I'll read it to you. It says, "The original Greek manuscript or manuscripts from which Ulfius made his translation of the Gothic Gospels belong to the Byzantine group." Now that's where Ripplinger stops the quote. She puts King James type in brackets and puts an ellipses there and stops the quote. But if you actually read what was said in the Cambridge History of the Bible, Volume 2, it says, "The original Greek manuscript or manuscripts from which Ulfius made his translation of the Gothic Gospels belong to the Byzantine group," and now here's the rest of the sentence, "with a sprinkling of Western readings." So you can see plainly that she omitted that part of it on purpose to create the perception that things are nice, neat, and tidy, and that the Gothic Bible is just, you know, the same sort and so forth as the later King James. And so she's engineering the quotes. And then not only does she leave that out, but then she has an ellipsis that then takes the reader all the way over to page 355. Okay. Now, this is the second part of the quote from the Cambridge History of the Bible, Volume 2. It says, as in the Gospels, the original Greek text in the epistles was of the Byzantine type. And that's where Riplinger ends the quote. Okay. But it actually says in the Cambridge History of the Bible, Volume 2, it says, as in the Gospels, the original Greek text in the epistles was of the Byzantine type with a number of Western readings. So twice, she's engineering the quote. She's only taking out of here what is suitable to her purposes and ends and not giving the reader the full story of what is actually said. Now, unfortunately, this is a common type of thing that happens when you read some of these books. Now, I took the liberty of reading the entire entry from the Cambridge History of the Bible, Volume 2, on the Gothic Bible, and it's actually really quite interesting, and it actually would have helped make the same point that Riplinger is ultimately trying to make if she just would have been honest with what is in the text. So, this whole write-up talks about how the earliest surviving copy of the Gothic Bible that we have is not identical probably to the original one, and that over time, as Gothic culture rubbed up against Roman culture, that Western Roman readings would have did work their way into the text of the Gothic Bible, but that originally the Gothic Bible was an emblematic form of the early Byzantine text type that from which the later King James Bible came from. So my point is this. Ultimately, the authors are making a point that is favorable to the one that Riplinger is trying to advance, but she's not being honest in the way that she is quoting and citing the sources. To me, this is a problem. Okay, we need to be aware of these things when we read various King James, pro-King James literature by different authors. And I forget the politician that said this, and it might have been Reagan, I can't remember exactly, but he said, trust and verify, okay? The attitude that I've taken with a lot of the things that I've encountered is I need to verify, then trust. We need to be Bereans with this information. We need to study it. We need to look into it. We need to backtrack, and we should not be just taking people's word for it because we like the particular bent or slant that an author has on the matter. So, This is a problem. I just created the video to try to get back into the habit of doing videos and to point something out that this kind of thing does matter to people who are serious about looking into things, and it creates doubt in whether or not you can trust some of these materials and whether or not they're actually giving you the full story when the way they quote sources and the way they use material. So, if you haven't had a chance to check out any of the teachings that we've been doing at Grace Life Bible Church on these issues, I would encourage you to visit our website, gracelifebiblechurch.com. You can click on School of Theology and then click on From This Generation Forever, and it will take you to this class that I'm referring to. And without any further ado, let me just say in closing, I don't trust Riplinger. That's my personal opinion. I've seen too many times where she's played fast and loose with the documentation that it makes me not trust her and not want to use her as a source for things that I'm going to be teaching. So I just give that to you for your consideration, and I hope all is well with you.